Welcome to the Purpose Podcast. Welcome to the Purpose Podcast.
Welcome to the Purpose Podcast. This is the show that's all about impact. This is a new way to introduce the show today. How do you like that? Purpose drives impact. That's what this show is all about. It's about the combination of purpose and effective action, and that's how we create results in the world. So, welcome to the Purpose Podcast. This is your host, Ted Sarvatta. This is episode 35. You can find it at purposepodcast.com/035. And I want to talk about purpose drives impact. So if you've been listening to the show before, you know that the show is all about purpose and using business and our business purpose to make an impact in the world. But I haven't talked about it in exactly that way before. In fact, the cover art for the show has always said purpose plus action equals success. And that's what the header of the website said up until this past week. And I've been really dancing around this issue of impact because that's what it's all about for me. That's why I went ahead and got the B Corp certification, the benefit corporation, the certified benefit corporation certification, because I wanted that third-party validation that shows that my business, our business, TedSarvatta.com, is a business that's about impact in the world. And so it all came together for me last week. I finally realized that that's what this show is all about. So I changed the cover art, changed the header. It now says purpose plus action equals impact. And so then that begs the question, what is the impact? And so as I sat down to really put together my thoughts of how I believe impact gets made in the world, it just became obvious that that's the model. It's purpose drives impact, and the drives is the action part. That's the part in the middle. So if you draw an arrow from purpose to impact, the part in the middle is the action. It's the drives part. Purpose drives impact. So what I want to do today, just spend a couple more minutes on what is that drives? What is that action? And then we're going to have an interview with Laura Dellinger of the Metropolitan Group. They are a certified B Corp in Portland, Oregon, and they're using their business to really make a difference in the world. So we'll talk more with Laura in a few minutes. But for now, I want to talk about that part in the middle of the model, purpose drives impact. By the way, I've written about this, and I have a diagram if that helps you. If you're a visual person, you might want to go to purposedrivesimpact.com, and you could see the diagrams there. All right, so what are the things that happen in the action? There are really three kinds of action, three things that you need to be thinking about. One is people. That's your team. We can think about people in a lot of different ways, but at its most basic level, let's think about it as your team, the employees that you have, the people that you work with, contractors, whatever the case might be. And the second piece is strategy. That is, who are you? Where are you going in the world? What are you providing to whom? Who cares about you? What are your promises? What are you developing in yourself? That's strategic conversations that are happening there. And then execution. When you take your, you know, when your people are executing your strategy, well, that's where impact comes from. It's really those three things: people, executing strategy. So when we simplify that, you could think that, you know, in an ideal world, when if money is no object and we have perfect knowledge, then what we do is we come up with our purpose. We understand what our purpose is. We bring the team on board that's going to execute on that purpose, and then we create the strategy that's going to allow that purpose to flourish in the world and make a big difference. And then you execute that strategy, and then that's where impact comes from. But of course, in the real world, it's not linear. In the real world, you're just trying to get off the ground, and you might not even be thinking about purpose. You might just trying to find product. And so things happen in all different orders, and that's fine. The way I've drawn it at purposedrivesimpact.com, if you go there, you'll see that I drew it as people, execution, and strategy all in a circle with double-headed arrows going between each of those three items, because you work on one and it influences the other, and you work on the other and it influences that one. And so you just continually upgrade those as you go. All right. And that's one of the things that I do with my clients. If we do a quarterly offsite or an annual offsite, we're working on all three of those areas. We're also working on purpose and we're working on impact. So there's five areas in the model. We're working on all of them. But on a day-to-day basis, you can't be working on all of them. On a day-to-day basis, a lot of the work that you do is executing. And there's some work that's strategic where you're, you know, when you're meeting with clients and you're trying to develop more strategy, but that might be a weekly periodicity where you're really thinking about strategy and people issues. You know, maybe you have a specific project one quarter to really upgrade your hiring practices or upgrade your review process or get rid of reviews entirely and do something different that has people really know how they're performing on a daily or a weekly basis. But whatever the case might be, the idea is to look at those three areas when you're looking at action, people, strategy, and execution, and decide where do we need to put our focus right now. Is it the area that we're weakest in that's going to have the biggest impact for us internally so that we can have the biggest impact in the world? Or is it that the area that we're the strongest at, we need to continue to grow that strength and really continue to differentiate? Either one is fine. Now, of course, we haven't even really talked about impact. What kinds of impact are we talking about? Really, that's up to you. It's really up to you and your business. As I think about the impact that I want to make on the planet, I think about allowing everybody to be exactly who they are. That's what sarvata means. Sarvata is a Sanskrit word, and it means wholeness or integrity. And Celeste and I, my spouse and I, we chose that name when we married because that's what our family is all about. And that's what this business is all about. I strongly believe that impact in the world comes from everybody being exactly who they are. That means you as a business owner. That means each of your employees being in the right seat, really being charged up about your purpose. And if they're not, well, wouldn't it be better for everybody if they were at a place where they could really take action on something that inspires them? So everybody's going to be better off when we're in alignment inside our organizations. And, you know, organizations may change in the future, but for now, businesses really have the potential to make a huge impact. And there's no reason why we can't take that seriously and use business as a force for change and a force for good. And so whether you measure impact with a triple bottom line or whether you use the B Corp certification as a, you know, external validation and look at all your stakeholders, or whether you, you know, are a subscriber to conscious capitalism and you're really looking at the way that Whole Foods looks at stakeholders, all of these can be valid ways to look at impact. And there's plenty of other ways. There's plenty of other ways that you can look at your own impact. And any of those ways is really important, as long as the question is going beyond simply, you know, the financial bottom line. Financial bottom line is important. If your business isn't healthy, you're not going to be able to create the impact that you want in the world. So we absolutely cannot forget that. But we don't want to stop there. All right. So that's enough for today. I'll talk more about Purpose Drives Impact on the show going forward. I'd love to hear your feedback. If you go to purposedrivesimpact.com, you can see what I've written there and the comments or the diagrams. I'd love your comments on that. You can reach me, ted@purposepodcast.com, or you can put a comment at the show in the show notes, which is purposepodcast.com/035. All right. Now I want to transition to our interview with Laura Dellinger. I did the introduction here live with her when I did the interview, so I'm going to go right to that now, and we'll talk to you at the end. It is my great pleasure to welcome Laura Dellinger to the Purpose Podcast. Laura is the president and principal at Metropolitan Group, which is a Portland-based strategic communications agency. Metropolitan Group recently celebrated its 25th anniversary as a social change agency. And of course, we'll ask Laura to tell us more about that. But just a little more about Laura. She has a deep expertise in the use of community engagement to mobilize stakeholders in community-based solutions to social and civic issues. She also serves as board chair at Trillium Family Services, among many other current and past nonprofit board positions. And just last week, she was honored by the Portland Business Journal as Executive of the Year at their Women of Influence Executive Awards. Laura, it is my great pleasure to welcome you. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much, Ted. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Yeah, great. Could you start by telling us about Metropolitan Group? What is a social change agency, or what is a strategic communications agency? Who are you and what do you do?
Sure. As you mentioned, Metropolitan Group was started 25 years ago, really with a very specific purpose, to use strategic and creative services to help organizations create a more just and sustainable world. So our clients really are operating in the social purpose space, and that means that they are government agencies, large nonprofit organizations, and socially responsible businesses who really are focused on improving the communities in which people live and work and play and learn. And we operate in terms of our service areas, specifically in the communication arena. That may mean social marketing or public well-building campaigns, traditional aspects of design, you know, web, film, video, digital communication strategy. And then we also have a robust capacity building practice, really helping organizations build both the human and financial resources that they need to be successful. And we do that through a multicultural engagement lens. So it's really important for us to make sure that all of the voices in community are heard and elevated when we're trying to solve social problems or improve the communities where people are.
Wow, that's great. So you started the business with the purpose in mind, this idea of the piece of it that I pulled out there was to build a just and sustainable world. And you started, yes, started the business with that in mind?
Yes, and just to be, you know, truth, I didn't start the business, but my business partner, Eric Friedwald-Fishman, who was actually a childhood friend of mine, started the business 25 years ago. I came 18 years ago. And when they started the company, the intent there was to help improve the communities and to create a more just and sustainable world.
Well, that's great. So some of the purpose-driven businesses that I work with and that I've interviewed for the Purpose Podcast, they come to their purpose later. They, you know, they really are sort of start the business. They're looking for a market. They're looking for customers. They're trying to figure out what they're doing for a period of time, and then they discover purpose later. But this is a different kind of a story, that the purpose was at the founding, and that's really interesting. And I thanks for that clarification about you coming later. But either way, it's so wrapped up in the founding story, in the story of origin, that I imagine that that greatly influences who Metropolitan Group is today. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it certainly was, you know, the primary influence for me coming there in the first place. I've always wanted to be in an environment where what I did actually created some kind of positive social impact and made people's lives better. And to come to a place where that wasn't just an add-on, it was the central feature of why we exist, was incredibly compelling for me.
So tell us about how you came to Metropolitan Group. Maybe even a little bit about why that that purpose was so moving for you and so important for you as you joined.
Sure. Well, I think if I were going to put a label on myself, I'd probably say that at an early age, I considered myself an activist. I'm not your gal if you're looking to maintain the status quo. I think the status quo needs to be improved. So
yes,
I'm always looking for ways to positively impact the community. And I'm always, I would say another label I'd probably give myself is justice seeker. So I'm always looking to right wrongs and to, you know, create more equity in our communities. And as a result of that, I spent, you know, some time in higher ed in the social really studying social movement work and teaching in that space at Oregon State University. And I subsequently went to work for the Oregon Trial Lawyers Association, working on citizen access to the courts issues and campaigns. Hmm. And I was actually there and doing that and loving that very much when Eric called me and said, hey, this is what I'm doing and this is what I want to do. And we were at that time, I think I was the fifth person to join the firm. And he said, come help me build this. And I thought, huh. So I talked to my dad, and of course, like any good daughter, and my dad said, you're crazy if you don't do it. So I did it. I just leapt, and the net appeared. So it's just been an absolutely incredible experience to go from really doing regional work here in the Northwest to having offices now in Portland, where we're headquartered, in Chicago, D.C., and San Francisco, and to be doing work all over the nation and in other parts of the world. And it's really every single day I wake up and think I am the luckiest person on the planet.
Wow. That is really awesome. So if we come back to the purpose again and think about day to day, you know, you're the luckiest person in the world, on the planet. You wake up that, you know, thinking that every day, what is the connection between the purpose of the organization and, you know, that feeling that you really are doing what you're called to do, or that, you know, you're in a very fortunate position. Can you draw those lines for us?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was remarking to someone last week, people were having this conversation about, you know, well, how do you connect your work with your life? And I thought, I don't know, because my work and my life are one thing. So I feel like my purpose as a person and my purpose in the business around, you know, justice and sustainability and equity, that those are just core values for me that are so central that I cannot imagine having to work in any way that wasn't in concert with those values. So for me, it's just almost, I almost can't pick it apart because it's not, it's just not separate. It's who I am at my core. And because the business is that, it makes it, you know, really just a part of my personal DNA as much as it is a place that I work.
Right. And for the business, how does that play out in terms of what kinds of decisions get made? I mean, you talked about you were invited to join the company and it's because your purpose matched up with the business's purpose. Is that true for new people that are brought on today, or how else does that play out in the business's decisions?
It very much is that way today. We get a whole lot of folks who are really interested in coming to work at Metropolitan Group, or MG as we call it, primarily, you know, I don't even think primarily, I think exclusively because of the kind of work that we do. And sometimes they're not even people who have the skill sets to deliver the kinds of services we deliver. They just love our mission. And they are wondering, how is there some way that they can align themselves with it? So we're in the very fortunate position of having an abundance of riches when it comes to talented people looking to align themselves with us. And I think, you know, we have a really clear set of principles, of values. We publish a manifesto about what we believe, and that's what we expect of people who work there. So if you can't get behind that and you can't support that, then MG is not the right place for you. So we're very committed to that, and we're very active in our communities and have always been here in Oregon, both dating back to when, you know, Eric and myself were both kids doing activist work in the community. But we're very committed to that, and we take very public positions in support of important issues, especially in the human rights and environmental space. And it's really important to us that, you know, people don't necessarily have to believe those things to work at MG, but we believe them and we put them out there in a really public way. So if that's uncomfortable for people, then we're probably not the right fit. So far, we haven't had anybody who's not 100% behind our commitments and our mission and our manifesto about how we want to see the world.
Yeah. I find this in company after company, that the more that their hiring practices are aligned with who they really are, the better, because people that don't align aren't going to, they're not even going to join. You know, they're not even going to show up at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's it comes down to me, there has to be some component of the DNA of a person who comes through our doors that has some passion for making things better. And if they don't, they're probably in the wrong job.
Right.
I interview people all the time, and I always ask the question, what are you passionate about? And, you know, if someone tells me I'm passionate about PR, I'm thinking, well, you're in the wrong place. Because we're not here just for that. You know, we're here to use these skills to advance something bigger. So tell me you're passionate about animal rights. You know, tell me you're passionate about, you know, air pollution. Tell me you're passionate about your cat. I don't care what it is, but make it be something bigger than just some kind of a service that you deliver, because that's not enough.
Yeah. And so for those organizations that you serve, those nonprofits, those government bodies, those purpose-driven for-profit companies, what difference does it make to them that you have the just and sustainable world purpose that you do?
I think it's vital to them. I think that's, 9 times out of 10, a central feature of why they choose to work with us. There are certainly other people out there in the world who do strategic communication and capacity building work, and that's great. I think the fact that we have a shared commitment to the same things that our clients care about is really important to them, and as a result of that, I think they feel that we are a part of their community, and we are, because we are committed to education and libraries and the environment and conservation and health and human rights, and, you know, we care about all those things. They affect our daily life, and so we see ourselves very much as a part not only of their team in terms of helping them advance their mission, but also as a part of their constituency base. Because we are benefiting from the work they do in the community as much as they benefit from the work we do to help.
So I know that you are, the Metropolitan Group is a certified B Corp. That's actually how I found you and found out about you.
Yeah.
I'm actually in the process of becoming a certified B Corp for my business as well. Really inspired by
awesome.
You know, you and all of the other wonderful B Corps in Oregon and around the world. What difference does that certification make, or why did you pursue that certification, and what difference does it make that you are certified?
That's a great question. I think we pursued that, and I think why is it important is we've always operated on a triple bottom line basis, even before there was really language for that, and people really talked about that. So to have a mechanism to that is objective to hold yourself up against and say, you know, we're committed to holding ourselves to a really high standard, and every time we go through a recertification process, we're held to an even higher standard than the years before. And so the opportunity to have someone outside of us measuring our success and our impact and our capacity and setting new benchmarks for ourselves is really important. So I think it's serving a really great value from a continuously helping us improve. And it's hard, you know, it's a rigorous process. And I think it's a really important process for us. And we've certainly benefited from the growth of the B Corp movement and the number of folks who now are beginning to recognize B Corp as a thing and seeing that that's a really valuable thing. And it's also a really great point of entry, I think, for a lot of people who may not know about B Corps to be able to describe to them that we voluntarily subject ourselves to this kind of assessment on a regular basis. In addition, we did register as a B Corp here in Oregon as well, and were instrumental in the passage of the B Corp legislation here that created that that category of corporation. So that's important for us. I also think it's a distinguishing factor. It's a selling point. It's very rare that we compete for business against another B Corp. There just aren't that many in our particular space currently, and we sure hope there end up being a lot more.
Right. Boy, yeah, I'm partway through reading Conscious Capitalism. I can't believe I never read it before. But part of what's inspiring about this idea that we're looking for how to benefit all of our stakeholders rather than simply the bottom line is,
right.
You know, is so inspiring to me. And the entrepreneurs that I work with, they all have some greater purpose. And so, you know, the idea of, a B Corp being, not only a symbol and a way that, you know, that your potential customers can get to know you, but I really see it as an amazing group of peers as well. And, now it's a relatively exclusive club. And, I agree with you. I really look forward to the time when we have, many, many more purpose driven organizations of all stripes that hold themselves to an external standard.
Yeah, me too. And I think that it's interesting if you look at what are the places where there's so much angst in society currently around business, and you think about, you know, what's happening in different industries and, you know, inequities in pay, and then you look at, well, you know, who are the people who are driving that kind of inequity? Well, they're not B Corps.
Right.
And I think, you know, it's a fascinating way to contrast yourself against, you know, what is traditionally, quote unquote, big business and the single bottom line and money being the primary measure of success, when we know that actually doesn't work. It's not the only measure of success, and you can have a lot of money and have a terrible environment and a terrible community, and ultimately in the end we're just setting ourselves up to fail as a species. So, you know, it really is that big of a deal at the end of the day, and using business for good I think is not only smart, but it's necessary. If we don't do that, we're headed in the wrong direction as a people.
Right. So I'm curious about your, you know, position as a strategic communications agency. You know, I think just as you mentioned that business, you know, has a certain reputation, or the parts of business that have a reputation, I think are well deserved, you know, for not paying attention to anything other than the bottom line. And I think the communications realm, the marketing, you know, public relations, it is often seen as, well, that's a bunch of lies to try to get people to do something that they wouldn't do otherwise. And here you are using those same tools to actually build a future, you know, to build a world that you believe in. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. You know, it's really interesting. I'll get just a tiny bit academic on you.
Okay.
Because I'm a longtime student of the discipline of communication, which really, you know, began with the Greeks. And, you know, there were arguments about this even then of the people who were actually using communication in an ethical fashion and using it to advance the interests of the audiences that they serve, not only their own self-interest, and the people who actually were just charlatans. And I think for us, we manifest that sense of commitment to the broader community that we serve. And we ask really hard questions, and we force our clients to ask hard questions. And for us, the values alignment between, you know, why does an organization choose to or need help in a particular area, or why are they trying to attract a different set of people to engage with them? That motivation behind the reason why, if the reason why is just so that we can make more money, they're probably not our client.
Right. Well,
they're not our client.
Right.
And so it makes it, and we've certainly had situations where we're good at what we do. So we've had situations where, you know, very large organizations that are, you know, more in the kind of big box retail category have come to us and said, hey, you know, we need your help with community engagement because we're running up against all this opposition to us. And we're looking at them thinking, we're not trading on our relationships to help you take advantage of the community that you're having problems with. That it doesn't work like that, you
right.
know? So it's been an interesting process, but having a focus on social purpose organizations has really helped us make sure that the values alignment piece is always there.
Yeah.
If you're acting congruence with your values, then you're not going to run the risk of, you know, being in the place of being thought of as a manipulator,
right.
or acting as a manipulator, probably
right.
more importantly.
Wow, that's awesome. Very cool. So, Laura, we are just about out of time. Could you share with us how people can find you on the web?
Sure. They can find us at metgroup.com on the web and on Twitter at metgroup.
Okay, very good. I will put those both in the show notes. And as we draw to a close, could you give us your final thoughts as you think about the entrepreneurs out there who are listening to the Purpose Podcast? What are your sort of pearls of wisdom about purpose, you know, given our conversation and given the 25 years of history with MG here?
Yeah, you know, the other day somebody asked me the same question, and I said three things. I said, you know, be who you are, do what you love, and act with integrity. If you do that set of things, then you're going to be golden.
Awesome. That's a great place to end it. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the Purpose Podcast. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks for having me, Ted.
All right. That was awesome. Be who you are. Do what you love. Act with integrity. If you're inspired by that, or if you're doing that, and that's how you see your life, let me know. I'd love to hear your story. Ted@purposepodcast.com. Please get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. So final thoughts from me after this interview. So just one note. You heard me say during the interview that I was in the process of becoming B Corp certified. Well, of course, that's already happened, and I announced that on the last episode. So this recording was made a few weeks ago. And thinking about the framework, purpose drives impact, you know, I sent out that framework to my email list today, and one of the comments I got back was really instructive. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm just remembering what she said. But she said, first thing, it was remarkable for an email, you know, marketing newsletter, first of all, that she read it. She read the whole thing. So that was already something remarkable, she said. And she made another comment about how I used bikes in the framework instead of you know, reinforcing car culture. Well, that's part of who I am. That's part of my sort of my purpose that's never stated is around the bicycle and urban architecture and the city, you know, sort of capital T, capital C. I really believe that the city is the way is the mechanism that humanity uses to, you know, to make it here. I think suburbanization was a mistake,
And maybe it was a necessary mistake. I don't know. We could debate that, whether that made sense at the time or not. But I really believe that the city is how we're going to work together as entrepreneurs, because that's where we have critical mass of thinkers, critical mass of people who want to live together and build something. And that's where entrepreneurial creativity really gets its peer groups. It's hard to have a peer group in a place where you don't have enough density without having to drive a long, long way. And that's just no fun for anybody. And the third thing she said was that even though she's a person that I've known for a long, long time and I believe is very purpose-driven, she said that she was noticing that she's not clear on her purpose. So if that's at all true for you, whether you are clear on your purpose or not, I'd love to hear from you. I love to have conversations with people where they have a half-baked purpose and we can help make it stronger. Or if they're just really not sure, you know, we can talk about that too. If you are really clear on your purpose, I'd love to know what it is. And if there's a way that I can help, great. And if not, I would just love to be connected with you and be a booster for you and your purpose. So let me know. Another way that you can support the effort of the Purpose Podcast and this idea of Purpose Drives Impact is you can go to iTunes and give a rating, a review of the show. That really helps in our visibility. And you can also share the show with your friends, and that might even help even more. You can email them the link, purposepodcast.com/035 for this episode, or you could just send purposepodcast.com and they can peruse any episode that they like. I really appreciate you as a listener of the Purpose Podcast. I couldn't do what I do without having listeners. And I'm really inspired by who you are and what you're up to in the world, because purpose really does make an impact when you take those actions. So thank you. I look forward to communicating with you next. Until next time, go out there and live your purpose.